Hello and welcome to International Report. In this third episode about Harlem's history, we focus on the cultural and intellectual movement that began in the 1920s, also called the Harlem Renaissance. It was called the New Negro Movement at the time and was seen as the rebirth of African American arts in this northern neighborhood of New York City. Sarah Lefebvre reports from Harlem.
Most people put the beginning of the Harlem Renaissance at 1921. That was the year that the show Shuffle Along hit Broadway with its lineup of black stars and writers. According to Karen Tabone, ethnomusicologist, regardless of when this cultural movement started, its artistic strength and energy came from the fact that Harlem was the first place where black people felt free in the United States.
Those African Americans who came to Harlem, they were the children or grandchildren of slaves. So Harlem was the first place that we, from so many different places of Black America, could come together and celebrate our own literature. We were encouraged by Crisis Magazine from the National Association of Negro People. Crisis Magazine published a lot of the writers and also the visual artists, and the musicians came here, and the intellectuals and the political figures. We all found ourselves in this one spot. There was never any other place in the United States that had such a diversity of talents that were black. And being so recently just freed from slavery, there was just tremendous excitement. It was like, for the first time in our history as African Americans, we can speak, we can be ourselves. So that was the Harlem Renaissance.
The A train, it's the fastest way to get to Harlem from downtown New York. It's impossible to talk about its musical history without mentioning this masterpiece by Ellington. Like Ellington, a lot of celebrities started their career in Jungle Alley, a tiny street where I'm being led to by Karen Tabone.
This street is so important because during Prohibition, that would have been from the late 20s to the 1933, 133rd Street had the largest concentration of speakeasies. There were one black newspaper at the time, said that there were somewhere around 600 speakeasies spread throughout Harlem during Prohibition era. So that was a lot of speakeasies, and these places were also sites for musical entertainment, musical innovation, dancing, as well as drinking. That was very popular with piano players. And so Duke Ellington would tell stories about how there would be battles, piano battles, between the great piano masters, you know, each of them trying to outplay the other at the speakeasy. And Billie Holiday got her start here. This was her first singing job at Pot and Jerry's, which is just down the block here. As she tells it herself in her book, she needed to help her mother get the rent paid. So she came down here to Jungle Alley, and she stopped into Pot and Jerry's, and she asked them if she could dance for them. She was trying to get a gig dancing. She failed miserably. She wasn't a dancer, just terrible. They were about ready to throw her out the door. And they said, kid, can you sing? She didn't think of herself as a real singer, but she said, sure. And so she sang. And that was her. Then it became a regular job. So after her regular stay here at Pot and Jerry, she went and played at different venues around Harlem, and then she was hired to sing in the Duke Ellington Band. So she became, of course, the famous Billie Holiday that we know.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep.
Billie Holiday later played in famous venues in Harlem, like the Apollo Theater and Coney's Inn. Together with Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan, these African-American women are known as the first jazz voices. Sarah Lefebvre for RFI in Harlem.
Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But now I'm not afraid. This rover crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gonna set my feet on the sunny side.